Hi, you know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? What if those words have the weight of centuries behind them, like in Ukraine? Igor Kosov has found himself thinking about this, about the history of insults that are currently being hurled around in the country in which he was born. Kosov is a native Russian speaker. He now lives in the United States, and he was back in the Ukraine doing some reporting on the current crisis there that's threatening to split the nation. You've got the supporters of the Western-backed government on the one side and the pro-Russian separatist on the other. There's a big linguistic divide here. Most native Ukrainian speakers, they support the government. And then most, possibly most, native Russian speakers support separatism, or at least more autonomy. Igor Kosov wrote about the insults that he heard for the Daily Beast. Here he is, speaking with the world's Marco Werman.
Most Ukrainians speak Russian. I mean, it's because of the Soviet Union, everybody in the country mostly understands Russian. But that doesn't mean that they consider themselves part of the same ethnic group or political allegiance. I think that there's a lot of propaganda and bad blood going around where people dredge up the past either deliberately or just because they can't help themselves, and that's just really driving people apart.
That past is kind of embedded in those words, isn't it? There's a Ukrainian word that you write about, kokol. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
It's chokol.
Chokol. What does it mean?
Yeah,
and who's using it?
That is a very old slang for Ukrainian used by Russians. It refers to a lock of hair sticking up from a shaved head. Cossacks used to wear that hairstyle, and Russians sort of derisively referred to them as that.
Right, so kind of a pejorative word. Now, this lock of hair sticking up from that head, that goes back to, like, Tsarist times, right?
Yeah, that's interesting, because Cossacks were, like, these fiercely machismo-oriented independent holdfasts, but they were so powerful that the Russian Empire eventually started using them as military units. And nowadays, the word Cossack, that's also used as a word, not to refer to the ethnic group, but to refer to army irregulars or deniable assets. So I've heard people saying, oh, the Cossacks are coming in across the Russian border, that they mean that instigators and irregular forces are coming in to stir up trouble.
This is language that goes back hundreds of years and its history. Another example you cite, also with historical ties, the word people in the eastern city of Donetsk used to refer to the government in Kiev, Banderovtsy, or am I
– Banderovtsy.
Banderovtsy.
Yeah.
A reference to Stepan Bandera. Who was he and
yeah.
What does he mean to Ukrainians?
Stepan Bandera was a very divisive politician during the lead-up and the World War II. Because Ukraine suffered so much under Soviet agricultural policies and because of this history of ethnic strife, Bandera and many of his followers believed that they needed independence from Russia at any cost, independence from the Soviet Union. And the only people powerful enough to emancipate them, quote-unquote, were Nazi Germany, which was really a military powerhouse. Bandera created an organization of Ukrainian nationalists and led the more radical of them to work with the Nazis, and people say that he also believed in racial purity, pure race of Ukrainians, no Jews, no Poles. The actual followers of Bandera killed Russians, they ethnically cleansed Jews and Poles, and some of them later united against Nazi Germany when they realized that the Nazis were not about to let them be independent.
Bandera is a potent figure, it would seem, who could play into this view of Russian separatists who say the Ukrainian government in Kiev is fascist and anti-Semitic. Is that part of the idea?
Yeah, because it's easy to link what's going on right now, because the fact is there are neo-Nazi groups that are pro-Ukrainian independence, and they look very bad for the non-Nazis who are pro-Ukrainian independence, but they're there. They were necessary for some of these street battles. Pro-Russia people, separatist people are saying, aha, look at this. This is history all over again. We must fight back. We destroyed them 70 years ago. We can't let this happen again.
What fascinates you about the whole use of language? I mean, why did you write this article?
It struck me that when I was walking around talking to people on the streets in Donetsk, they would throw all these words around, fascist, Bandera, it's a right sector, this. And, you know, it was totally understandable to me. I just didn't even think twice about it. Oh, yeah. But then I read some American news and I think, how many English speakers that are not from this area actually understand what this history actually means and what these words actually mean. These are not entirely empty accusations. They do have a past, and that's why people get so fired up. When you say Banderovtsy, you know, well, who cares? Well, people do care because that's their past. Pensioners remember fighting against those kinds of forces in their backyards. They remember taking wounds.
Reporter Igor Kosov, he recently wrote about the language being used in the Ukrainian crisis for the Daily Beast. Thanks a lot, Igor.
Thank you.
We have more at pri.org/language. I'll see you also on Facebook at the World in Words page and on Twitter. I tweet under the name Patricox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. See you next time.